Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 206. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. Joining me again this week, your friend and mine, Jason Linden. How are you today, Jason?
You know, I'm adequate.
Adequate? That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, you got to take what you can get sometimes.
That's right. Absolutely. So anyway, we're here at Red Leg Nation Radio to talk about the Kentucky Derby. You like some horse racing, Jason?
You know, it's more fun than baseball right now, and I don't even like horse racing. So,
well, I don't even like baseball. Jason, 7-24.
Man, it sucks.
Let me just repeat that for you one time, Jason, because I'm not sure you really heard me. 7-24. What in the world? That's the Reds' record for those of you who have been on another island or something. What is going on? Please tell me you have an answer, because I don't.
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, literally, the only thing I can say is they've won 4 of their last 10.
They're only 4-6 in their last 10. That actually sounds pretty good.
Doesn't it? And isn't it really depressing? That sounds kind of good.
You know, go ahead.
I needed them to not get swept by the Brewers, but they got swept by the Brewers.
Even losing 2 of 3 to the Brewers, I don't think it's as bad, because we're coming off a 4-3 week. The Reds were 4-3 last week.
Holy cow. All right, so I'm looking at game results now. The Reds are 1-8 in one-run games.
Wow.
That's almost a positive.
Do you think that the players understand that it's good to be up by one at the end of 9 innings, not down by one?
I would assume so. I will say...
They've got the majors.
As you know, and hopefully a lot of our readers know, record in one run games is the most like luck determined thing in baseball.
It's random. Yeah, it's random.
Yeah, it's very random. So I suppose in an alternate reality, the Reds are 8-1 in one run games, in which case they would currently be 14-17, which would be less disastrous.
yeah. Even if they were 12-19 or 11-20, I could probably live with it.
I'm trying here, Chad. I'm trying.
7-24.
It's not good.
Yeah, late. Jason, here we go. Let's lay it out. The Reds are currently on a pace. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
They're on a pace to finish this season with 37 wins and 125 losses. 37-125. That's the current pace.
Bad? That sounds kind of bad.
It's bad. It's the worst ever. So here's my question to you, and really this is a serious question that we need answered here on Red Leg Nation Radio. Are the Reds going to lose 125 games?
No.
No, they're not. I hope.
In fact, here, you want to hear a bold prediction?
You're known to make some bold predictions, so yeah, I'm always up to hear another one.
All right, here is a bold prediction. The Reds will not lose 100 games.
I don't know that I'm willing to buy that.
How bad is it that the Reds will not lose 100 games seems such so outlandish.
I'm as optimistic as anyone except for you, and I just don't think that I can see that happening. I think they're going to lose 100. I think they're going to lose 102. I think they're going to... Didn't the 82 Reds lose 101?
Something like that, yeah.
All right, let's say this in all seriousness. A little analysis here, Jason Linden. If the Reds do lose 100 games, and you say they're not going to, that's your bold prediction. I can't believe that's the bold prediction, that they're not going to lose 100 games. Every time I think of that, I'm like, come on, man. That's not bold. But it is bold. They're on pace to lose 125. Let's say they lose 100. What does it mean? What does it mean? Is there any response from ownership? Is it, you know, because we're on the heels of three straight 90-plus loss seasons. We got a season where everybody within the organization said, here's the year that we take a step forward, or turn the corner is the word they used. Dick Williams has said the players need to have an urgency to win. What happens if they lose 100 games in this year that they're supposed to be turning the corner on this rebuild? Or does anything happen? Do you have any thoughts on that?
This is what I will say. If it doesn't get better this year, if this is it, this is what we're dealing with, and they lose 100-odd games, and ownership does not break the freaking bank this offseason, then no Reds fan has to justify not going to the ballpark or not watching games.
I think that's a great way to put it. I mean, really.
And I'm serious. If the Reds lose more than 100 games this year, they better be in the Bryce Harper sweepstakes.
And we're not talking about even heads rolling. That may happen. I don't see that happening. You know, Dick Williams is the general manager. He just got here. They're not going to fire Walt Jocketty. He's perpetually tethered to Bob Castellini's hip. I don't see heads rolling. I mean, Jim Riggleman's not going to be back, but that head already rolled. But I think that there's only one way the Reds can respond. I think you're right. And if they don't, if they don't spend next offseason, why do we waste our time? I think that's the question we've got to ask. If this team, because at that point, it'd be clear, they're not serious. They're not serious about putting a competitive product on the field. So why should we waste our time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said, but you and I both, at the end of last offseason, this is why I'm so down right now about this rebuild, because you and I both thought that this was going to be a year where the Reds had a chance to, you know, 500 or better. And, you know,
yeah,
we were pretty clear about that, and our voices have been recorded. I have not yet deleted those podcasts from the earth. I need to do that. But where we said the Reds were going to be good, or at least relatively good. But you and I both, at the end of last season, sort of said that, hey, you know, if they go out and get a pitcher and maybe go out and make a trade for a, you know, center fielder or something, this team could be okay. And we watched them do nothing. I mean, we watched the Reds do, well, almost nothing. They signed two relief pitchers. I guess let me put it this way. The reason why I thought that the Reds had a chance to be at least, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 this year is because I thought, I thought they were going to go out and improve the team in the offseason. Because remember, there were some rumblings at the end of last year they were going to be looking to improve the pitching. So A, I thought they were going to try to improve the team in the offseason. And B, I thought when the season started, even though they hadn't done that, I thought they were going to try to play the best 25 players on this roster at all times. And instead, they did not try to improve the team. And they refused, they refused to play the top 25 players in the organization. No better evidence of that than Nick Senzel hanging out in Louisville with you and Yovani Gallardo and Cliff Pennington and Phil Gosselin getting big-time major league at-bats.
I was about to ask permission to get on a high horse. Can I have permission?
Buddy, I'm up on mine, so you might as well hop on.
Nick Senzel needs to be starting at second base yesterday. Yesterday. Since he, like, had his week to adjust to AAA, so since the 12th of April – in AAA, he's hitting .322, .406, .576. Cincinnati Reds, Bob Castellini, Dick Williams, whoever, I am talking to you. I do not care about the $3 or $4 million that it figures to cost you to call him up now instead of in June. This team is miserable, and you need to fix it. Call him up now.
To me, there was no excuse. I love your high horse, Jason, and I'm with you 100%. There was no excuse to me. This is when I really got down on this rebuild, because when I really felt like the Reds weren't serious and that they weren't displaying any sense of urgency in the front office is when Eugenio Suarez gets hurt, Nick Senzel gets past the date where they can get that extra year of control at the end of his contract or end of his arbitration years, and the Reds didn't bring him up. That's when I said, They're not gonna play the best 25 guys. They don't have any interest in putting a competitive product on the field this year, and I don't think they ever did have any interest. Regardless of all this talk of urgency, they never had any interest whatsoever in putting a competitive product on the field. And every single day that Nick Senzel is in Louisville raking absolutely destroying AAA pitching at this point and looking like the best player, certainly on Louisville's roster, best player in the International League maybe. Every day he's down there, it's a day that the Reds are spitting in my eye and saying, I don't care. I know you care a lot about this franchise and you spend all this time writing and thinking and talking about this team. We don't care. We're not putting a competitive – we lied to you. That's the way I hear it. We lied to you about trying to turn the corner this year because nothing they have done since the end of last season, not one thing that they have done, indicates that they're serious about turning the corner, quote unquote.
Yeah, and I mean, there's stuff that is just, I mean, completely nonsensical. Why is Amir Garrett in the bullpen? Why isn't he in the starting rotation? Why didn't he at least get that start that they gave to Cody Reed?
Yeah. What's he doing in the bullpen? He's killing it. He's doing exactly what he did in the spring.
And I mean, Cody Reed can't start in Louisville without walking the team, the other team. So what are you doing? And it's not like Brandon Finnegan has looked particularly sharp at all.
Yeah, like, is it going to affect Finnegan's progress if you give Garrett one or two of his starts?
Stick Finnegan in the bullpen.
I'm fine with that. And I like Finnegan. I mean, I don't have anything against Finnegan, but I just don't understand what we're doing. Amir Garrett's the oldest one of that group of young pitchers. He's the one that should be getting the tryout in the rotation as far as I'm concerned.
And, I mean, he has been by far one of the highlights of the season. I mean, without question, the best pitcher. I mean, maybe second to Tyler Molly now that Molly has started to kind of settle in a little bit and has had some really excellent starts. But, like, just enough. Enough, enough, enough. Like, it's time to put up or shut up, Reds.
It really is. It absolutely is. And they've indicated to me, to my satisfaction, and I feel like I follow this team as close or closer than almost anyone. They've demonstrated to me what their intent was with this season. It was to lose 90 plus games again. Did they know that it was going to go this far south and possibly lose 100? Probably not. But they didn't have any intention of turning the corner. I mean, I want to hear the argument that they did have that intention this year. I want to believe it. I want to believe that they thought they could turn the corner. But if so, I need somebody to tell me what in the world they were thinking. Because they certainly didn't put together a roster that could sustain even a couple of injuries in the first week of the season. They didn't put together any kind of a roster. They didn't go get anyone to prevent them from playing. Well, they had someone to prevent them from playing Cliff Pennington at third. They've refused to use him. I'm baffled and I'm not happy, Jason. And we're usually happy here. And here I am ranting. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to let you rant for a moment.
Well, I'm right there with you. Like, I can see the argument for not signing this guy or not signing that guy or whatever. But like, man, you know, it was awfully hard to watch Christian Yelich have a pretty good series against the Reds.
Killed me.
And to think about what it would be like with him in center field. And, you know, frankly, beyond that, let's get on another high horse. I'm about done watching Adam Duvall hit like final season Adam Dunn.
I'm with you.
Like,
explain to me why we've got 27-year-old Scott Schebler, who could be on the next good Reds team and who's killing the ball, and Jesse Winker, who's 24, who has been a revelation to anybody that didn't know that Jesse Winker could play like this. He's been fantastic, the breakout star of the team.
Yeah,
302 average, 413 on base percentage. I know Adam Duvall made an All-Star team, and I know he's hit 30 home runs a couple years, and he plays hard and he plays good defense, although not as good as he used to. And he's a likable guy, and you know, okay, this is not anti-Adam Duvall, but he's going to be 30 this year.
You know what? I'm sure Adam Duvall is a fine human being, but 445 plate appearances since July 1st of last year. He's hitting 198, 265, 381. It is time for him to not be anything like an everyday player.
And it would be different if the Reds didn't have someone to play those corner spots every single day. If your other option was someone that was 30 years old and not going to be on the next good Reds team. But you got two guys that might be. Schebler's still just 27. You know, I mean, he might be on the next good Reds team. And frankly, you and I have been in agreement with this a couple of years. he was always likely to be better than Duvall this year anyway.
Yep.
And when he's been healthy this year, he's just killed the ball. Okay. I'm going to ask you this is what I asked Doug Gray last week. Where's the urgency that the Reds said that they needed out of when Brian Price was fired? Said they need more urgency from the players. Where's the urgency in getting a hitter in the lineup and sitting Duvall?
I mean, really, where's the urgency from management?
That's what I'm saying. The management blamed Brian Price and the players for not having enough urgency. Where is the urgency from the front office?
I have no doubts whatsoever that everybody who is on the team is trying as hard as they can every day. Like, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that the players are putting out their full effort. What I doubt is management's commitment to winning.
They have no commitment to winning this year. I mean, I think they think that they're on a path, and they may be on a path. I do think that they're actually on a trajectory where they will get better the next few years. I mean, I think they can't avoid it with some of the guys that are coming up. But I think they lied to our faces about turning the corner, as I said, and it chafes me when they say the players need to play with more urgency, and there has been none in terms of the front office. If you want to tell me about urgency, get the best 25 players here and have your best 9 players on the field every night.
Yes.
It's not that hard.
No.
Again, it's not like we're rushing Senzel.
Can we also talk about some of the frontline pitching that didn't sign until very late into spring training and did not sign for an amount of money that would have broken this team's bank?
Yeah, absolutely. That was the first part of my complaint earlier, was that I thought they were going to a pitcher and, a position player, center fielder. Christian Yelich, oh my goodness. I mean, maybe they couldn't have gotten him, but they should have tried everything they could to get a guy like that. Young, under contract for, I think, 4 years, affordable. That's a guy. And just one pitcher. They could have done that.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind. And it's easy for me to spend somebody else's money. But I refuse to believe that they couldn't have done that if they wanted to put a better product on the field this year.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, listen, here's where everybody's like, oh, we all have said the it's not my money thing or whatever before. But here's the deal. When it's deciding whether or not to watch a game or to go to a game, that is my money. And frankly, I don't care how much Castellini is making off the team. I'm sure he's making more than we know. I don't care how much he is making. I would like to see a good baseball team.
Well, I'm going to tell you, this is 2 of the last 3 weekends, I guess, that I have unexpectedly had a free weekend. Could have spent a couple days at the ballpark and would have in just about every past year. And I'm not boycotting the Reds, certainly. But, I'm not going to go out of my way to go watch this mess. You know what? If Nick Senzel had been called up this week, I'd have been there to watch him this weekend.
Yeah.
But I'm just not going to waste my time. I mean, I'll watch him on television. I'm going to do that anyway because I'm hopeless.
I mean, hey, you know what? The last time the Reds had a Nick Senzel-level prospect called up was a fellow you may remember named Jay Bruce.
No, I've never heard of him. Oh, the guy from the Mets?
Yeah, I saw him play a couple of times in his first week. I saw his first game and I saw his first homer in person.
Really?
I did.
I saw him first couple of weeks because I just happened to be in New York City when they were playing the Yankees. And I was walking around New York, I remember, the day of the game. And they just happened to be in town when we were there. And saw like 4 people wearing Jay Bruce jerseys, t-shirt jerseys. I was like, whoa, this guy's like a sensation. Because he was when he first came up, if you recall.
Yeah.
So when did they bring him up? How old was he at that time?
Shoot, that's easy to figure out.
22.
I have the internet at my fingertips, Chad.
The interwebs, all answers. Nobody
interwebs
ever.
Tell me in about 2 seconds.
I'm thinking 22.
His rookie year was 21.
21. Wow.
I didn't know. I from the way the Reds had behaved, I thought you had to be at least like 25 to get called up to the majors.
They have. I mean, he's the only guy that I remember, really. that they have pushed to the big leagues. And maybe being cautious with the young guys is the right thing to do. I don't know. What do I know? But you just can't tell me that Nick Senzel's not ready. I mean, you can't tell me that a guy like Shed Long probably is in Double A is ready for Triple A. I mean, they just Taylor Trammell's ready for Double A.
And you know that Long is just waiting for Senzel to get called up.
he may be waiting a while.
Then Shed Long gets promoted. That's what happens.
Yeah, Shed Long's the second baseman at Double A Pensacola, and yeah, that's what's going to happen. But yeah. You know, in order for him to come to Louisville and play second base, they've got to bring Nick Senzel up. So poor Shed Long, he better get settled in. I hope he's purchased a home in Pensacola. He's going to be there a while.
Ugh. Yeah.
Jason, this is the most sort of downtrodden that you and I have ever been on the Red Leg Nation Radio podcast. Do you agree with that?
I do. And I want to emphasize again that I'm not blaming the players at all. I have opinions about who I think should and should not be playing. But I will say this. Very, very, very rarely do I ever doubt that a major league player is giving less than his all. Like, I tend to basically never boo players because baseball is hard. And sometimes it's harder. Like, Major League Baseball all of a sudden becomes impossible for someone who it was very possible for before. I don't boo players, and I respect the amount of effort that they put forth. But I do not believe that management is currently putting forth maximum effort.
Oh, I think they're probably putting forth maximum effort towards what their goal is, but their goal is not to quote unquote turn the corner or to put the best product on the field this year. And there's no question. There's absolutely no argument that they're trying to win games this year. There's no argument in favor of that.
Yeah, I agree.
And I agree with you. You know, I can remember one player since I've been a Reds fan, just one player who I thought was dogging it. I did not think was giving much of an effort. You know, you think about a guy like Cliff Pennington this year, who's just was not good. And he, you know, got a lot of abuse for it. And that stuff kills me because, you know, it's not Cliff Pennington's fault that he's being asked to start. If the Reds asked me to start at third base tomorrow, I would be there.
Yeah.
Okay. And it wouldn't be my fault that I sucked. I'm not good at baseball. Cliff Pennington is, you know, he's better than almost anyone in the world at baseball, but he's not quite good enough anymore to be a starting player in the major leagues. That's, you know,
I have no doubts that Adam Duvall is trying his absolute hardest, right, but he doesn't have it right now.
That's what kills me about the people that just hammer on these players like, you know, it's not like Adam Duvall is not trying everything he can to be the best player he can for your Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah.
And there's no question.
And I mean, and let's be honest, if Adam Duvall is at all self-aware, and based on what I've seen, he is, he knows that he is one of those players who's right on the margin between starting player and bench player. Mm-hmm. He's not Joey Votto. Let's be honest. Joey Votto could show up and decide to bat right-handed for a month, and we would all just wonder what new genius this was, and he could screw him with us, and he would not sit down.
Yeah, but he'd also hit 340.
He probably would. But you know what I'm saying.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Duvall is not a star, and he knows he's not a star, and he knows he's got to play his way into the lineup effectively, and he's got to keep playing to stay there. So you know he's trying hard. He's not going to slack off.
Right. So these criticisms of these players are not directed at their you know, lack of effort, and you do hear that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just not the case. But I'm telling you, I try to give the front office the benefit of the doubt, and I almost always have. I do not see a serious argument. And if someone can make this argument, I want to hear it, but I can't see an argument that they are making an effort to win more games this year than they have the last 3 years, as they told us they were going to do. Now, do I expect them to tell us the truth all the time? No, it's, you know, it's a business and it's PR, and you know, you got to try to get people into the seats. But I kind of feel a little betrayed at this point. And that's probably being too overly dramatic, but I do. I mean, they suckered me in. They lied to me. Fool me once, shame on you. Or fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, well, I won't get fooled again.
Yeah. I got nothing for him until they call Nick Senzel up.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I'm sorry, but, and again, you know, another instance, like Scooter Jeanette, everybody likes him.
I like him.
Had some awesome moments last year.
But one of the 50 greatest moments in the history of the Cincinnati Reds, according to a fine new book called The Big 50, The Men and Moments That Made the Cincinnati Reds. Chapter 39, Scooter Jeanette.
Fabulous book, that one.
go buy it.
But, yes, everyone go buy that book.
Uh-huh. But, right. But you're exactly right. Go ahead.
He's not going to be – the Reds have him for a year and a half still. Nobody is going to give you anything above a C-level prospect for him, as much as Red fans might want to believe otherwise. Nobody's going to do that. Except for one half of a season last year, he has been exactly the same player throughout his entire career. He is not a starting caliber major league second baseman. Nick Senzel is probably an all-star caliber major league second baseman, and yet Nick Senzel is at AAA and Scooter Jeanette, when his shoulder is healthy, is starting every night for your Cincinnati Reds. And also, why can they not put players on the disabled list when they get hurt?
This has been going on for 10 years, it seems like, during the entire Walt Jocketty era. But like, go ahead.
And it's Scooter Jeanette. Like, really? Like, man, like 5 games without Scooter Jeanette and with somebody else instead, like, oh, I don't know, Nick Senzel? Like, really? That's going to cost you enough wins or whatever that you gotta not put him on the DL. Come on.
I agree. I mean, the flip side is at least they're playing Blandino in his place largely. But when you say that Scooter Jeanette is the same guy he's always been, except for, you know, a half season basically, that's not necessarily a criticism. Scooter Jeanette is a perfectly capable Major League Baseball player. He needs to be a utility guy, but he can hit. He hits right-handers really well. You need to spot him against just right-handers. He can't play defense well enough to be a starting second baseman, but he can play a few different positions and fill in and be a good power bat off the bench. I don't mind having him around.
He's exactly who you want on the bench.
But do you want him blocking Nick Senzel, who's probably the best prospect this team has had since Jay Bruce? Would you say?
I would say most certainly in terms of, you know, potential. I mean, obviously, you know, the Reds had Joey Votto when they had Jay Bruce, but nobody knew what they had then, including any Reds fans.
Yeah, well, he wasn't a prospect like this. I mean, he was a second-round pick, and I mean, he was a good player, but he didn't come up until he was, what, 24, 25? I mean, they kept him down forever.
Yeah.
I can think of one other guy that may have been a better prospect than Senzel or Bruce during that time. Just one. You know what I'm talking about?
Homer?
Close, but no, that's not the guy I'm thinking of, although I'm thinking of a pitcher.
Bob Stevenson?
He was a pretty good prospect, but no, it's let me just tell you, because you're struggling here.
All right.
Luis Alberto Bonilla. Had to drop in a Luis Alberto Bonilla reference.
I don't think anybody would ever have called Luis Alberto Bonilla
No. Oh. You tell me the Reds couldn't have signed Luis Alberto Bonilla instead of Giovanni Gallardo?
They absolutely, well, okay, yeah.
That's a pretty good description of the 2018 Reds. Well, yeah. That's a pretty good job, Jason. So you're right. I mean, and you criticize Scooter, and it's like you're, you know, crucifying one of the it's hard to believe that he's only been a Red for, you know, 1 year and, 31 games. Because I mean, he's a kid that's has some local ties, and he dressed up like the Easter Bunny and one day before the game, and the Reds send him out to all their community events, and he's perfectly willing to do it, and a great representative of the organization and stuff like that. You know, he goes to the hospitals and visits kids, and I like having Scooter Jeanette around. But I mean, you know, this is supposed to be a business where you're trying to put the best players on the field, and I don't think you can make the case that he's the best second baseman in this organization that's ready for the majors.
Listen, what I said, and I tweeted this, is that, and I've seen plenty enough to know, is that Nick Senzel is for sure in the field a better second baseman than Scooter Jeanette. There is no question. So you have to believe that Scooter Gennett should play ahead of Nick Senzel, you have to actually legitimately believe that Scooter Gennett is a significantly better hitter than Nick Senzel. And if you really believe that, I have some oceanfront property in Idaho I would love to sell you.
But Jason, Scooter Gennett hit 27 home runs and had 97 RBIs last year.
Man, here, let me do something real quick for all those people.
That's 97 ribeye steaks, Jason.
Give me just a second.
No, I'm telling you, this is the answer to you. Nixon's no, not going to get 97 ribeyes.
Who's out there thinking, but 27 home runs. So, all right, those 27 home runs placed him in a tie for... Oh, wait, I'm not getting qualified. Hold on, I'll get it. We got filters on here that I didn't mean to have on here.
There's nothing more engaging on a Red Leg Nation radio broadcast than when we're sitting around waiting for you to Google stuff.
Listen, Caddington.
Let me say this while you're searching. This year, 31 games, 125 plate appearances, which is about a quarter of the plate appearances he had last year, close to it. Actually exactly a quarter of the plate appearances last year. He has two home runs this year.
51 players hit more home runs than Scooter Gennett last year.
27 is a nice number, but lots of people hit that nice number. The ball was juiced.
The ball was juiced last year.
The ball's not juiced now, they say.
No, it's not. There have been some pretty definitive studies. It is not juiced. And Scooter Gennett, I think we had some talk amongst a few of us sort of privately, but he had – this is public data. I'm not sharing anything that was private information. But Scooter Gennett had one of the shortest average home run distances last year. And if you take that, which tells you probably that some of his home runs were a little fluky to begin with, and then you take away the juiced ball, and boy, you could not have a better category for or a better candidate for regression than that.
Yeah.
And again, he was not actually an elite hitter last year. He was a good hitter. He was not in what I would classify personally as a truly elite hitter.
Yeah. And you look at his slash line this year, which is, you know, fairly respectable, I guess you'd say. Batting average about the same. On-base percentage about the same as last year. Slugging percentage last year, .531. This year, .405. I mean, and that's the difference.
Yep.
And when you include the fact that his defense is just... And again, we're not criticizing... I feel like we're just hammering on Scooter Gennett. I don't know about you. I'm not going to speak for you, but I like Scooter, and I want him on the... He's one of the 25 guys I want on my roster. He's one of the 25 best guys in this organization. I want him wearing a Reds uniform, but I want him used smartly.
Yes, correct. I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
Let's bring him off the bench. Let's play him at second base and third base and left field and right field. We need to spot somebody. Let's get him.
When guys need days off and stuff like that, absolutely.
Yeah, make sure he's batting against right-handed pitching. I mean, he can help a team.
Great pinch hitter against the top righty late in the game.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's not a situation where we don't think Scooter Gennett has any business being a Red. I mean, he's not... Willie Taveras to bring a name out of the archives.
You have to do that, Chad.
I'm going
to
say it. Willie Taveras is the guy I referenced earlier. That's the only guy that I remember feeling like he was really dogging it. He really wasn't trying. And a lot of people compare him to Corey Patterson back in the day. And we've gotten way off field here, but Corey Patterson played his butt off. It wasn't his fault. He wasn't any good anymore. Boy, I really got way afield there. But you're right. I mean, there's just...
You know, it tells you something about how bad it is for the Reds when you start talking about Willie Taveras.
I know, we're bringing back some great memories.
Though, here is something that people can either be happy about or bemoan, which is that Willie Taveras is responsible for my existence in the Reds blogosphere.
Is this right?
The first time I thought... This is so dumb, I have to write about it, was when Willie Taveras is playing every day for the Reds.
That is fantastic. That is glorious. I did not know that. That made no sense. But, okay, just to put the final touches on this Nick Senzel discussion, because there are a couple of things that have been positive that I do want to try to touch on, because that's what we do best, Jason Linden. But Nick Senzel, the only excuse, the only rationalization, the only justification that you can give me for why he's not in Cincinnati is that the Reds are trying to save some money, trying to get him past what they call the Super 2 deadline, which means it's going to save them some money down the road on him. And that's the only thing that I can think of as being a legitimate rationalization for keeping him down. I mean, you may want to say, well, I need some more time working on second base. Okay, well, then why didn't you get him up here to play third base, which he didn't need to work on?
Yeah.
So if the only reason the Reds are keeping him down, and that's the only reason I can see, if there's another one, I'm perfectly willing to buy it. The Reds have more information than I do. But if the only reason is because they want to save a little bit of money in a few years, that is the most cynical reason to keep a player down, and it gives me serious concern about whether this team is going to be serious about really pushing forward with this and trying to become a competitive franchise. Again, am I being overdramatic?
You're not. And I will say this. I have really a lot of times come forward with the they have more information than we do. And I think at times it is true. But I will say this. The times when we've like wondered and, you know, I know I've gotten to see a lot of kind of what goes on at AAA. And I have often not wondered as much as some other people why someone wasn't called up. And it's been because this guy doesn't quite have it together headwise yet. I've heard nothing about that from Nick Senzel. Every single sign is that he's ready for the major leagues.
And not just ready, that he's one of the hardest workers at Louisville or in the organization. This guy busts his butt. I mean, everyone's praised him for that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's universally praised as a hard worker. And again, even if you want him to get like more time at second, he can learn that at the majors because he's still better than Scooter Gennett.
What's the harm in him learning this year at the majors? And what's the harm in him getting some at-bats against big league pitching in a year that doesn't matter? It's over now. They're not going to compete this year.
Yeah.
You can't get more low-pressure at-bats in the big leagues than what he would have the rest of the season here.
Bring him up now. Otherwise, yeah, you're penny-pinching. And fine, you can penny-pinch, but I don't know. I'll go follow and see how Johnny Cueto's doing.
Oh, yeah, I'll pinch my pennies. I mean, I'm not scaring anybody by telling the Reds I'm going to not spend money on them because it's, you know, it's not going to change their budget, but I can pinch my pennies too. I can spend it on other things.
Yeah.
You know, I watched my daughter's softball team win tonight. That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter didn't get a hit though, so I'm a little upset with her. She wasn't trying her hardest. Jason, softball is hard.
Softball is hard.
She was trying hard and she's,
yeah.
She's a first baseman like Joey Votto, except she's nothing like Joey Votto because nobody's like Joey Votto. Votto's been better lately. He's been the old Votto. He's player of the week last week in the National League.
Yep.
And he's back to being Joey Votto, which is that's nice to see.
You should never doubt Joey Votto. Like, two bad weeks from Joey Votto are meaningless.
I didn't doubt him for a second. I know you didn't either. You got to concede that the Reds' awful start to the season, where they were like 0-30 to begin the year, Votto takes part of the blame there. He was awful. I mean, he was bad.
Sure. I mean, absolutely.
And I heard people saying, oh, he's just catching up to him. And I'm like, come on. He's just not going to catch up to him like that in 6 months. 6 months ago, he was the best hitter on the planet.
Yeah.
So Votto's back. He's fine. I mean, he's only hitting .259 now if you care about batting average, but that on-base percentage is back around 400, and he's, you know, he had four home runs in four straight games. The power's back. He's fine. He's Joey Votto.
Let's be realistic. In like 2 weeks, he could very well be hitting .310
or higher. We've seen it
because he does that sometimes.
He goes on those runs. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, he's fun to watch.
We
say this all the time. Let me just say it again because it's this every year. I want to just shake people and say, watch every at bat. It's a special thing that we're not going to have forever, and we may never have again in our lifetimes.
He is the best hitter that has ever played for the Reds, and he has a chance to be the best player in Reds history.
Yeah, that's not true. You're forgetting someone.
I am not.
Two players. There's two players better than him in Reds history. Pete Rose.
And Wayne Krenchicki.
Oh, my God. You dropped the Wayne Krenchicki reference. Oh, my gosh.
Pete Rose was not better than Joey Votto.
Oh, come on. He was a million times better than Joey Votto. He ran to first base on a walk.
Congratulations, Pete Rose. He was not better than Joey Votto.
Pete Rose was a fine player.
Rose was an excellent player.
Yeah, he was
not better than Joey Votto.
It's kind of like what Sparky Anderson, he used to be the manager of the Reds, you know, back in the Big Red Machine days. I think he's chapter 15 in the Big 50, Sparky Anderson. But anyway, someone was comparing Thurman Munson, the Yankees catcher at the time, to Johnny Bench, and Sparky Anderson said, come on, let's not embarrass Thurman Munson or anyone else by comparing them to John Bench. You know?
Yeah.
And Joey Votto's a better hitter than Pete Rose. I know people don't want to hear that, but it's true. And that's not a criticism against Pete Rose. Joey Votto is just elite. The other Red that I think is probably a bit better hitter than Votto, the only other one I can think of, probably Luis Alberto Bonilla. He was a good hitter. Good hitter. Great plate discipline. He got lots of walks. Oh, wait a minute.
Don't make me go look up Luis Alberto Bonilla's.
No, I'm thinking of the way he pitched. He issued lots of walks. Sorry, I made a mistake there.
Yeah. You got backward there, didn't you?
I did a little bit. All right, Jesse Winker's been, we said, sort of the breakout guy, but who's been the best offensive player for the Reds this year?
You're asking me who's been the best offensive player?
I am.
Without looking, I would say either Schebler or Suarez.
It makes me so happy. I think it's Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah.
I love that guy. I mean, okay. The Reds did spend some money in the offseason. Not as much as Suarez probably could have gotten if he wanted to test the free agent market. Definitely not as much as he could have gotten. But the Reds did lay out. We're hammering them a little bit. They did lay out to sign Suarez for 7 years at a pretty team-friendly price, I feel. But Suarez, man, that guy's got a smile on his face. He's the guy they say is, they call him a gym rat for baseball. He's just always, he loves baseball. Just wants to work on his game. 26 years old. He's killed the ball. He's hurt, you know, for a couple weeks, but came back quickly. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing to dislike about Eugenio Suarez, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, just to sort of pile onto that, talk about somebody who has not regressed. And there isn't, like, looking at his numbers, there's nothing in the peripherals where you're like, oh, but his batting average on balls in play is .493. No, everything is totally normal. He's just crushing the ball right now.
He's just good.
Yeah.
I would really, really love to see him get an All-Star nod, because it's going to be so tough for him ever to get into the All-Star game with all the great third basemen in the National League. I would love to see that.
One of my bold predictions is that sometime over the next few years, he will be a top five finisher in the MVP race.
I can see it. Not if the Reds don't get better, but, I mean, he's going to be the sort of centerpiece of the cornerstone of the rebuild lineup. Yeah. I mean, he's just good.
Right now, his line is .315, .415, .593, and those are Joey Votto numbers.
Those are. You know, and the truth of the matter is, I think he could probably play a passable shortstop. Not that I'm, you know, Peraza's been fine this year, and I think defensively Peraza's been pretty good. At least in the last three weeks. But I think he could play shortstop. I mean, I wouldn't move him from third necessarily. I mean, he's too good.
He's a fantastic third baseman.
Yeah.
He's
good. What do you think about Tyler Mahle?
I am really liking what's happened the last couple of go rounds.
Yeah, he went into the seventh inning with a no hitter, and then went into the seventh inning and only gave up one run the next time. You know, I wrote a piece. If you go to Red Leg Nation today, you can see up near the top a piece called Tyler Mahle, Luis Castillo, and Doing the Little Things Right. And the Doing the Little Things Right thing is a great piece that Jason wrote over at Cincinnati Magazine, and I linked to it there. But I also linked to my piece that I wrote over there about Tyler Mahle. And I just, you know, the hook of my piece, because I know you don't read anything I write, Jason, is that I don't know what – you're not surprised because I stole this from you, really, I think, on the podcast because we've talked about it so many times. I don't know why he doesn't get more respect, because he's just gotten hitters out every step of the way. I don't know why he's supposedly just his ceiling is a mid-rotation starter. I don't know. Maybe that's true. I know he doesn't have the stuff of Brandon Finnegan or Robert Stevenson or Cody Reed. But Tyler Mahle can do whatever he wants with the baseball, and he gets hitters out. He is just – here's my bold prediction. You gave yours earlier. My bold prediction is Tyler Mahle is going to be the best starting pitcher for the Reds in 2018.
Hey, I'm right there with you. And you want to talk stuff? Right now, Tyler Mahle has the highest strikeout percentage of anyone who started more than one game for the Reds, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
He's striking out 27.3% of the batters he faces. Next is Luis Castillo at 19.6, and then the rest of the guys are all clustered around 12, 13, 14%.
And it's not because Mahle is overpowering people, although he can get it up there at 96, but he also gets up there at 87 and every digit in between, and he just knows what he's doing at age 23.
And after some sort of cup of coffee control hiccups last year, he has not been walking people nearly at the same rate that he did. And he's been much more in line with his minor league numbers in terms of his walk rate.
Did anybody think he was going to continue to walk people like he did last year in the majors? Because he never has anywhere in the minors.
Yeah, no, I mean, I certainly didn't, but it's still good to see.
Sure, absolutely. Especially when you consider he's 23 years old.
Wait. Oh, they got to send him back down. He's only 23.
Yeah, send him down for some seasoning. Let him marinate in AAA for a while.
Actually, here, can we ask this question?
Oh, sure.
Why Tyler Mahle can be up now, but Nick Senzel can't?
Seriously?
Because Tyler Molly's not going anywhere. If the Reds try to justify, I will say this right now. If Tyler Mahle continues to pitch like he has, and at some point he mysteriously goes down to AAA for a couple of weeks.
Oh, gosh.
So they can cheat service time games. I will not watch another Reds game this year.
Like they did with Amir Garrett last year.
I will. If they send Tyler Mahle down and he's pitching like he is now, like I'm not talking about if like something happens and he falls off a cliff, but he continues to pitch like he has been and they send him down, I will not watch the Reds again this year.
Jason, I hadn't even considered that possibility. But now that you mention it, that we've been talking about cynical moves. That would be cynical.
One of the things that drives me nuts is, everybody understands that teams do this. They play the service time game, even though they don't ever actually say they are because they can't, all of that and such. But here's a question. As a player, I would remember that. And there would be no hometown discount when it came time for me to finally hit free agency. But if you're a team like the Reds who at least wants to claim that they're on a limited budget and so on and so forth, I would also, if I were a player, remember it if you played it straight with me and you didn't try to manipulate things. And in that case, there might be a hometown discount.
Yeah, I don't know that I would ever give a hometown discount for anybody if I were a professional baseball player.
Goodwill matters is really is what I'm saying.
That's and true,
I can't feel like any of the teams that play these service time games are generating any goodwill with the players who they're messing around with.
Or even, if a guy sees a guy that's getting close to free agency, they're doing this to another guy, I agree with that. I think if I were a player, I'm going to be trying to, my career's so limited, I'm going to be trying to get everything I can out of it. Although sometimes what you want out of it is what Suarez wanted, which was security, which was a guarantee. And I can't fault him for that either. But I'd remember it. I'd remember if you kept me down in a cynical play to make sure that I didn't earn $5 to $7 million more dollars. Because that's what it is. They're trying to make sure he doesn't, because if he gets to that point, or they're going to have to pay that, it means he's been a successful player. And so they're just, if they're keeping him down for money reasons, they're keeping him down so that they don't pay him what he will have been worth. That's the way I see it. I wouldn't forget it.
No, nor would I.
So what we're saying here is Jason Linden and Chad Dotson are saying, Nick Senzel, go to the Yankees at your first available opportunity.
I'd certainly go to the highest bidder.
Maybe not the Yankees. Oh, he's never going to the Yankees because he's a lifetime Louisville bat. He's going to be in AAA for the rest of his career. Oh, he might get picked up in the Rule 5 draft someday.
Here's one thing, and that I'm going to say. We talk about maybe there's some wisdom in being patient with the younger players or whatever. Where has that paid dividends? It hasn't.
No.
It hasn't paid. If a guy can, I almost think it. If a guy's too good for the league, he's too good for the league. Move him up so he can be challenged.
Sure. What's it hurt? I mean, maybe it does hurt. What do I know? But a guy that's proven he can play at the level below, challenge him. You know, I guess another part of the reason that I didn't mention earlier why I've been a little bit more disgusted lately with the Reds' lack of urgency out of the front office is because we just played the Atlanta Braves, who have the three youngest players in the major leagues on their roster right now.
Yeah, and how are the Braves doing, Chad?
Not bad. They won 11-0 over the New York Mets today, the Metropolitans.
Where are they? Oh, they are. They're in first place.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, is that going to last? I don't know. Probably not. But you know what? They got these elite prospects. Literally the three youngest guys in the majors, including Acuña and Ozzy Albies, who's just – both those guys are great. But they've also got a 24-year-old shortstop that was the number one overall pick.
Yep.
Like I said, the Reds played them, and you see how they've conducted their rebuild in pretty much the same time span as the Reds. They've blown the Reds out of the water. And it just kills me that we've got Nick Senzel, who is older. I keep saying the three youngest players in the major leagues are on the Braves roster right now. Senzel's older than all three of them. And he's wasting away in Louisville. I hope he gets to go to the Kentucky Derby.
The Bats are out of town.
Oh.
For very obvious reasons.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
Home on the Derby.
Well, yeah, well, Senzel should just stay back. He needs to see the Kentucky Derby. I mean, it's not like what he does on the field is going to have any impact on whether he comes to the major leagues. He should take a weekend off.
It's true. He should take a weekend off.
Yeah, just, you know, have some fun. His family can come into town. They can have a good time. Put on some funny hats and drink some mint juleps. That's all I know about the Kentucky Derby.
That's really all you need to know.
All right.
There's not much more to it. There's a horse race. People run.
We probably need to wrap it up. But quickly, I do want to talk about Luis Castillo because a lot of people have been upset with Luis Castillo. And he does have an ERA of 7.01. That's not good, Jason.
That is not good. It's true.
He's also 1-4 for those of you that like the one loss record as a measure of what he's done. He's not been good.
No.
He's
good the other day, though.
He was good in his last start against Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's another one that I took a look at for Cincinnati Magazine, and I came to the conclusion that he's going to be fine. And the reason I came to that conclusion was his changeup is better than ever so far this year. His sinker has been incredible, and he's been throwing it way more than ever this year, and it's been a strikeout pitch.
Yeah.
The problem has been his fastball, which the velocity has been down a little bit, although in his last start was back up where it was last year, down a little bit. There's some thought that could be due to cold weather. There has been some research that says that's a real thing. And all we saw him last year was in warm weather. But also, I think, it was, I can't remember whose piece it was that I read, maybe at Fangraphs. Jim Riggleman came out and said, well, you know, his arm angle's different. And then I saw the video from last year and this year, and it was different.
Yeah. Well, they've even been talking about that on Reds broadcast. They knew that that basically his mechanics were off.
Yeah.
And that's something that happens with young players.
Sure.
Or frankly, often enough, it happens with older players too. Like, you know, you get a little bit out of sync and you got to get back into place. And it looks like he might have, but you know, the singular bit of hope that I currently hold out, I mean, I don't think the Reds are going to be a competitive team this year, obviously. But in terms of sort of watching them going forward, is Castillo, Molly, and Romano.
Oh, my.
Which all of whom have been, you know, below to slightly below average pitchers this year in terms of their performance to date. But all of whom have also shown us that they can, in fact, really be good big league pitchers.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I think that Castillo's not been good so far this year, but I think in that piece, if you want to go read it. If you don't, whatever, I don't care. But I saw nothing in the – I sort of dug deep into the numbers, and I didn't see anything that made me think that he was, you know, he'd fallen off a cliff. A cliff, Luis Alberto. I think he's fine. I think he's going to be fine. He's going to be the same Luis Castillo we expected. And what that says to me is, I really believe this, Luis Castillo and Tyler Mahle, and I agree with you in putting Romano in that, because nothing Romano's shown me since he came to the big leagues has been anything, but I'm optimistic about that guy. He just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
But Castillo and Mahle, in particular, I think are going to be a better 1-2 punch than anyone the Reds had as a 1-2 punch during the that most recent time when they were competitive, 2010 to 2013, which is Cueto plus whoever was best.
I would agree with that. Nobody's been a number two as good as whichever of those guys ends up being.
Yeah, I mean, it was Latos, it was Arroyo, it was Homer 1 year. I think those two have a chance to be. And of course, you're putting a lot on somebody to say they're going to be as good as Cueto. I'm not necessarily saying that, but.
A couple of pitching things here. Man, it's like I try to like admit when I'm wrong about things, and I also acknowledge when I'm right. I was all aboard the signed Johnny Cueto train. I was all aboard it. I wanted him to be kept if they were going to keep one. And if they had kept him, he's had one off year since he left because of blisters last year, which that's no big deal. That happens. I really think if they had locked him up, he would have finished his career as the best pitcher in Reds history.
Yeah, I can see
now,
that.
Now, granted that the Reds have not had pitchers like they've had hitters, but I bemoan that. And then the other thing is, just because I'm sitting here looking at stats and we're talking about young pitchers, Brandon Finnegan has pitched 17.1 or 17 and a third innings so far this year. He has struck out 12 and he has walked 12. Oh. Amir Garrett has pitched 17 and two-thirds innings. He has struck out 19 and walked 2.
Yeah, it's a little better.
Yeah.
It's a little better.
Pre-Amir.
Before we forget, Johnny Cueto, Chapter 20 in the Big 50, the men and moments that made the Cincinnati Reds. Come on. Give Garrett a start. There's no excuse for that. But so what if Garrett could be a starter? Then you got Castillo, Mahle, Romano, Garrett. That could be a pretty good, four. And as much as we're upset with the Reds about the Senzel stuff and all that, the Cliff Pennington nonsense, you got to concede that at least the young pitchers, with the exception of Garrett, but young pitchers are getting their shot this year, which we thought they should have gotten last year. But so that's even though they've struggled largely or at least partially, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, with the exception of I thought beforehand, and I continue to think it, that Amir Garrett is a better pitcher than Brandon Finnegan, and I would swap them, their roles. I would put Brandon Finnegan as a reliever and Amir Garrett in the rotation.
I've said that I thought Finnegan could be a starter, so I'm not going to say that I haven't said that publicly, but I still think he could be a starter. He's just 25, but I don't get.
And frankly, I think that until they prove otherwise. Reed and Stevenson have both shown that they're 4A pitchers at best.
The Brandon Larson of the pitching staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. I'm less disappointed in Stevenson because, I don't know, I've just never expected that much out of him, even though he's been the big prospect. Reed, I mean, I've seen Reed dominate. I was hopeful he'd get it back.
I agree with you there. I definitely had higher hopes for Cody Reed than Robert Stevenson, though you and I are in the minority on that.
The distinct minority. Maybe some of that's because he's a lefty and he has those cool goggles that he wears. Maybe that's why.
But yeah, no, those guys, they got to show me something before I believe in them again.
What about this? The Reds call up Nick Senzel tomorrow and announce that Amir Garrett's starting in Finnegan's place in his next outing. How excited are you about the Reds at that point?
Let's see. If on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm at about a negative 7 right now.
So I'll get you back to negative that 2 or somewhere.
Like a 5.
Wow. That's pretty good. Pretty good. So, all right. The Reds are bad at baseball. Call Nick Senzel up now.
Now.
That's the title of this podcast.
Now. Play Jesse Winker and Scott Schebler every day.
Dick Williams, I know you listen to this. I love you, baby. Call Nick Senzel up now. Dick Williams, you're my favorite general manager in all of baseball. Call Nick Senzel up now. Do you have one final thought for anyone that's listening right now, Jason?
Hey, Dick Williams,
Call Nick Senzel up now.
Now. Immediately. Now. Oh, all right. This is the Red Leg Nation Radio Podcast. What episode did I say this was, Jason? 206? I mean, is that possible?
I can't imagine. I can't believe it. Nobody's taken the microphone out of your hand yet.
I know. I just get to keep doing this, and more people listen every week. It's ridiculous, and I do appreciate all of you that listen. And you know, email me chad.dotson@redlegnation.com. Find Jason at Jason Linden on Twitter. Find me at Dotson C. Tweet us. Tell us what you think. Give us ideas for next week. If you have questions, ask us questions. We'll try to answer them on the podcast. Go to redlegnation.com every single day, where we've been talking about the Reds for, this is the 14th season talking about the Cincinnati Reds. We're passionate about this team for whatever reason, and so in times like this really frustrate us, but you know, we'll get past it. Go subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. I ask every week, and I mean it. It really does help if you leave a good rating and a review for us. Helps other people find us, and so many more people have found us through iTunes lately. It's really been gratifying. Really appreciate that. Go buy the Big 50, The Men and Moments That Made the Cincinnati Reds, by Chad Dotson. That's me. And Chris Garber, available at all in bookstores in the Cincinnati area. It'll be expanding out to bookstores in the larger Reds country area, and all over the place, including internationally, in Canada. Some Joey Votto fans, I guess, run a bookstore chain up there that bought a bunch of copies, ordered a bunch of copies. So go buy that, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And, you know, tune in every week. We talk about the Reds for better or for worse. You know, we just spent an hour passionately discussing the Cincinnati Reds. Jason, what's wrong with us?
We don't have that kind of time, Chad. We don't have that kind of time.
All right, the last word here is call Nick Senzel up now.
Call Nick Senzel up now.
Now!
Wow.
For Jason Linden, this is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from redlegnation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app, and join us for discussion of all things Reds at redlegnation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.